what's wonderful to begin to be able to share with you this morning. Paul said to me when he asked me to fill in for him, "Daryl, share something that's maximum encouraging." And as I kept praying about it, while I've studied through and taught a number of the books of the Bible, the Lord just kept bringing back the 23rd Psalm. So I want to share that psalm with us together this morning and focus particularly on several little tiny words you might not have considered before, and also consider a number of other great verses in Scripture that amplify what David is saying here. Now, I want to say at the onset, in a crowd this size, I realize some of you, your hearts will just be praising God throughout this study. There'll be some others of you who will be saying, "Can this really be true?" And there'll still be a few others of you who will be saying to yourselves, "But Daryl, you left out our responsibility in our partnership with God." So I just want to encourage all of us to just consider God's words this morning. They will cause us all to walk out of here feeling we just don't have enough words in our vocabulary to praise Him. I've chosen this psalm because I know that all of us have things in our life, most of us right now, that can from time to time appear very threatening, very troubling. And we can't see any light at the end of the tunnel, like a potential loss of our job or some decision one of our kids is about to make that we deeply disagree with. It may be a health concern or a financial crisis or whatever. Psalm 23 tells us that God is always with us and wonderfully caring for us and for all that concerns us. So, there's nothing we need to be worried about, stressed over, fearful of, or nothing we even need to try to change. Now, if that's true, how glorious is that? So Psalm 23 begins, the first five words, "The Lord is my shepherd." The word "Lord" here is Yahweh in Hebrew, which refers to the God of His covenant promise to care for His people, which includes you and me, out of His love, forgiveness, compassion, patience, and goodness. The word Yahweh makes inseparable the God of all creation and His promise to protect and provide for every believer. Then, as most of us know, David was a shepherd. And he makes a correlation here between knowing how he cared for his sheep and how Yahweh cares for you and me. He says again in those first five words, "The Lord is my shepherd," then follows with, "I shall not want." He's saying, just as a sheep he cared for had no want for anything, because he took care of their every need, there's nothing we will ever need with Yahweh as our great shepherd. Nothing. We don't even need to try to figure out what's best for us each day. Did the sheep do that? Yahweh is shepherding us. We don't even need to make ourselves better Christians in some way. The Lord is my shepherd. King David says in Psalm 16:11, the first half of the verse, you will. Always have to pause on that word will and recognize again it doesn't say might. Doesn't say maybe. You will make known to me the path of life. Meaning, I don't have to figure it out. You will make me to know the path of life. Your path of life. Psalm 25:12 goes on. Who is the man who fears? Meaning, trusts in the Lord. He, Yahweh, will, not again might, instruct him in the way he should choose. Then, I also want us to notice here the little word, is. David says, the Lord is. What tense is? Present tense. Meaning currently, always, 24/7. The Lord is my shepherd. David didn't say, the Lord will be my shepherd. He said he is. Are you ready for the next clarification? David didn't even say, the Lord is my shepherd if I'm trying my best to obey him. Did he? He didn't say, the Lord is my shepherd if I'm fully surrendered to him. He just said, the Lord is my shepherd, as we'll see in the next verse, who is as my shepherd, growing in me even my surrender to him and trust in him. He's taking care of everything for me and about me. Paul says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who is, what tense? What tense? Present, ongoing, 24/7, at work, in you, both to will. That's growing our surrender and to work for his good pleasure. One of the most comforting thoughts to me from all of Scripture is to picture myself as just a dumb sheep. That's the illustration God used. That's how he illustrated our relationship to him. It's very comforting to picture myself as just those sheep going through life with the Lord, 24/7 looking after me and accomplishing in my life all that he wills for me. Isaiah 46:10 says, the Lord speaking, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Praise the Lord. How comforting that is to me. That's what King David meant when he also said in the Psalms, I can see now that God has been my God from my mother's womb. I didn't know it each day at the time, but when I look back, I realize, yeah, he was working in my life through that and working in my life through that and leading me when I didn't realize he was. How glorious is that? How comforting is that? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is every believer's daily 24/7 shepherd, whether we think he is or not. Whether it doesn't look like he is or not, he is. David goes on to explain in verse 2. He, Yahweh, look at the next two words, makes me lie down. Makes me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. It's important to notice again, David doesn't say, he gives me a choice to lie down. I'm glad none of this depends on me. That's mega stress for me. He says, he makes me lie down. He leads me beside quiet waters, or more literally, waters of rest. So, just as a shepherd leads his sheep and makes them lie down when he knows they need rest, God leads us and makes us lie down through the power in his word. We've all felt it. Be still and know that I'm God. We've all felt our shoulders relax and some heavy burden we're carrying when God speaks those words to us. Oh yeah, God is being my God. I don't need to carry this. He makes us lie down through prayer. He makes us lie down through Christian fellowship. Through causing another believer to send a verse to us that comforts and quiets our heart. Maybe you didn't realize this. I do, standing here looking out at you. He purposed for every one of you to be here this morning because he is my shepherd. Leading me. And he knew what he was leading you to when he brought you to the service this morning. He knew before he created us what he'd put on my heart to share. And he knew those words would be extremely comforting to you. I used to think through half my life, I did most of this myself. No, I got up and I chose to go to church. No, I really chose God. He didn't choose me. I gave myself most of the credit through most of my Christian life. But in the last half of my life, continuing to study God's Word, God just, in his graciousness, continues to show us more and more. It's all him. All the time. Paul says in the book of Romans, for to him and through him and from him are all things. That's why more and more I think less about what am I supposed to do. And I just see the Lord as my shepherd and I can't help but praise him daily. He brought me here this morning. He is my shepherd. So much Christian teaching today puts the emphasis on what you and I need to do for God, instead of on what God is doing every day for us. Now think about this. To focus on ourselves would be the same as the sheep in that picture, focusing on trying to be better sheep. Do they? They don't even have that capacity. If it weren't for the shepherd, they'd eat certain types of weeds and grass that would kill them quick. They'd stray off and fall off a cliff and die. The wolves and other wildlife would come in and devour them. It's all the shepherd. Same is true of you and I. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself. How powerful are those words? Nor is it in a man who walks to direct his own steps. I like the Living Bible reading here. O Lord, I know it is not within the power of man to map his life and plan his course. Man's pride thinks it's in him. But folks, a lot of us aren't real young anymore. We've seen a lot of life. All we have to do is look out at life, and everybody who thinks they have the ability to plan their life and map their own course, and we see where it takes them. Families are almost non-existent today. Marriages before too long are going to be virtually extinct. Many of us have lived long enough to see this. Man's pride again thinks he can do it without God. The God that created man says it's not in man. He can't do it. He'll just shipwreck himself time again, time and again. On the other hand, John 10, verses 3 and 4 say, to him, referring to all believers, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he, the shepherd, puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. John says here again, the Lord is continually leading us. He goes ahead of them to what nourishes us and causes us to rest in him. Even through all the difficulties we face in life, God is leading us to a greater rest in him. Even through all our failures and wrong choices, God is leading us to more rest in him. Verse 3 confirms this. Verse 3 begins, he restores my soul. Restores my soul means Yahweh is continually, as we go through life, taking the anguish and heaviness out of our heart and replacing it with his wisdom and joy. Psalm 19:7 and 8, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. All of us know the feeling of a heavy heart over some matter. And we felt the Lord, perhaps many times, remove that heaviness as we've simply looked to him. Not as we've tried to fix it. We can't. We're sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden about whatever, and I will give you rest. As the Lord turns our thoughts to Him, because we are His sheep, none of that we can do ourselves, again, quiets our heart. He makes me lie down. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Then Psalm 23, verse 3, the second half says, I love these words. How comforting these are. He guides me. Notice again, it doesn't say He might guide me. It doesn't say He guides me if da-da-da-da. It just says, He guides me. He guides me. Where? In the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This means, just as we saw in Psalm 25:12 and Isaiah 46:10, God, the Lord is my shepherd. My, how great thou art, shepherd. He is always leading us according to His perfect will for our life. Doesn't mean, and I'll point, we'll clarify this in just a minute, doesn't mean we don't struggle with our flesh all along the way. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. God knew that before He created us. He knew the war we'd be living with throughout this life. He knew the wrong choices our flesh would cause us to make at times. Does not negate the fact, the Lord is my shepherd. Remember again, David said, He's been my God from my mother's womb. Did David make any wrong choices? Did he? Black is black and white's white. But if we think of shades of wrong choices, did he make some pretty black wrong choices? The Lord has been my God from my mother's womb. Even though my ugly, horrible flesh took me off momentarily, and I did that, it is not negated. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that turned me back to Him and comforted me, David said, as you know, throughout Psalm 51. He's the one that did it. He's never not been my shepherd. So again, our how great thou art shepherd is always leading us again to more peace, kindness, love for others, honesty, fairness, and all that's truly good for us. Psalm 34:10, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry. Even the king of the beast in his prime goes hungry. But those of us who reverence the Lord, meaning those who have a growing trust in God, which again, our great shepherd, is growing in us, David says, will never lack any good thing. I confess, I've lived enough of life to be able to look at a lot of circumstances and think, boy, that doesn't look like a good thing to me that I'm experiencing right now. I'm in business. I've been in business for myself for 56 years. Try to make this brief. Early in my career, second year of business, I was sued by someone even 55 years ago just looking to get a settlement. And the cost to continue to go to court and defend myself was going to cost me more, my attorney said, than just settling it. I was sued for $30,000, and my attorney said, we can settle it for $20,000. It'll cost you $50,000 if you want to fight it. I didn't have the $20,000. I had to borrow the $20,000 from my aunt. I tell you, I didn't sleep for a couple years. I was so angry. How can somebody do this to me? Nothing about this lawsuit is true. I don't even have the money to do this. I thought it was going to put me out of business. It was just only 2 years into my marriage, working hard, trying to support my wife and my first child. This isn't right. This is horrible. The enemy in my flesh sowed a seed of anger and bitterness in me that lasted for about 20 years. Ate away at me like a cancer. Just ate and ate and ate and ate. How could this happen to me? Why did God let this happen? Didn't cause it to happen. Now I'm going to jump ahead 56 years. The Lord knew my life as a businessman. I didn't. He knew where my business journey was going to take me. And I've often said to people, I wouldn't take back that experience if you added a couple zeros after it and gave me $2 million. I wouldn't take it back. Because God used that, I don't have the time to get into it, but He used that court experience to teach me and give me particular sensitivities as to our judicial system today and how you can be falsely sued, da-da-da-da, and built in me certain cautions and so on and so forth that God incorporated through me into my business to this day. And I've often said I wouldn't take back that experience. You can't give me back the $20,000. I wouldn't take it back for $2 million because it saved me far more than that. For 20 years, it looked like the most awful thing that ever happened to me. But for the last 30 years, God has been my God. He has been leading me to still waters. He has been making me lie down. Praise God, praise God. That's why Solomon said in Proverbs 20:24, I love particularly the first word, since. Since, matter of fact, the Lord is directing our steps, meaning caring for us in every way, why try to understand everything that happens along the way? How powerful that verse has been in my life so many times. I don't need to understand this. The Lord is my shepherd. He is leading me. He is shepherding me. This looks awful. He is my shepherd. Even strong young lions go hungry, but those who belong to Him will never lack any good thing. Daryl, you need to fix this in your child's life, in your in-law's life. Daryl, their marriage is going to crash. This is going to happen. If you don't fix this, what can the sheep fix? So comforting to me. What can the sheep fix? By the way, are the sheep in partnership with the shepherd? Does the shepherd handle part of the responsibility and the sheep handle their part of the responsibility and the shepherd agrees to shepherd them if the sheep handle their share of the responsibility? See why I love this again? They're totally at the mercy of the shepherd. Totally dependent on the shepherd. Now, perhaps I again should come back and clarify. We still have our flesh. Scripture teaches that over and over. We all feel it every day. We feel the warring every day. So we still have our flesh with all of its failures, which God knew before He created us. None of that's a surprise to Him. So His leading us means He continues to shape our life amidst and in spite of our failures and shortcomings. Again, did King David have any shortcomings? The man who wrote this? The Lord is my shepherd. And God was still working in and through his life. In fact, how great thou art shepherd, you remember, said, he's a man after my own heart. Even though he failed miserably. But then I realized some of us could look at the problems we have right now. Some of you are thinking of them. And we can think to ourselves, but I don't see how God is leading me right now. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 say, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, meaning problems, right now, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. James is saying God is using all the difficulties in our life to grow our patience and trust and rest in Him. We may not even recognize it today, but He is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's nothing I need to do for myself, for Him. The Lord is my shepherd. So praise God, Yahweh is leading us. Even when we don't feel like He is and can't see that He is, He is. Now, does the Scripture say this repeatedly? God gave us a number of illustrations of this. How about the potter and the clay? Have you ever really thought about that illustration God gave us of our relationship to Him? Have you ever asked yourself what the clay can do for itself? What can it do? Certainly it can do one or two things. What can clay do? Can it hop up on the potter's wheel? And then the potter does the rest. If the potter starts to shape the clay and then pull back and says, all right, clay, you finish it. Can the clay do it? One of the most comforting illustrations in Scripture. God gave it to us of our relationship to Him. Again, the older we get in life, the more we can look back with little glimpses and see where I didn't realize it then. In fact, I was angry and bitter and stressed to the max, but God was adding shape to my clay back there. Oh, and I can see 12 years ago through that horrible experience, God was bringing me to a greater trust and dependence in Him that I could never bring myself to. How about, did He give us another illustration of our relationship to Him? How about the vine and the branch? What can the branch do for itself? It's nothing more than the extension of the vine, true? So verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. The shepherd, often on his way to greener pastures, would lead his sheep through deep ravines and wadis where the way and places seemed very treacherous. But But the sheep were never in danger because the shepherd was always protecting them. David is picturing here again the difficulties you and I encounter in life. And the fact again that God is still leading us through these threatening and worrisome circumstances to greener grass and quiet waters. He says so. The Lord is my shepherd. So really, we don't have to worry about anything tomorrow. God will be leading and guiding us tomorrow. We don't have to worry about the outcome of our difficulty today. God is always leading us to greener grass and quiet waters. He said so. Then the rod and staff in the end of verse 4 are symbolic of God's protection and guidance. And particularly, very importantly, I want us to notice, David says, they comfort me. You're saying, Daryl, why are you making a point of that? Because I noticed David didn't say, they beat me. Or they abuse me. Or they make me feel guilty. Or God or His Word makes my life unhappy. David says, they comfort me. Sometimes we forget what Ephesians 2:4 says. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. Mercy here means, are we ready? A refresher course for some of us, maybe new for others. Mercy means God never treats us according to what we deserve. Hallelujah is right. Or according to our failures, but only out of His great love and kindness. For half my Christian life, I was afraid of God. I didn't understand this. I read the Old Testament and it scared me. I was fearful of God. So fearful, I feared often I wasn't truly saved. Because I felt I could never live up to the expectations of me, I read everywhere in Scripture. Till God brought me to understand in teaching through Ephesians. But God being rich in mercy, God will never treat you, Daryl, according to any failure, according to any shortcoming. Mercy means He only treats you out of His immense love and kindness. Today, tomorrow, and forever. That's the Lord that is my shepherd daily. So then verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. What's striking to me here about this verse is that David is saying amidst his life's difficulties, God is lavishly caring for him. He's picturing himself as a guest at a banquet hosted by the Lord. The oil representing God treating him as an honored guest and the cup representing God's abundant provision. So he's illustrating again how his great shepherd Yahweh comforted him and gave him hope and wisdom amidst his most difficult times, even his personal failing times. Mercy, or how great thou art shepherd, never treats us ever according to what we deserve. But only out of His mercy. his immense goodness and kindness. So David concludes in verse 6. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just possibly the most distorted truth among Christians today is a believer's relationship to God. As I continue to hear Christians say, I feel God is punishing me for whatever. Or another Christian says to me, I don't think God likes me anymore. Or why did God cause that bad thing to happen to me? A dear Christian friend recently out of prison said to me, Daryl, why would God help me with my anger when he's the one who did all the bad things to me that's made me angry? Another Christian friend said to me, Daryl, honestly, I'm afraid to pray for more patience with my wife's back problems because I fear God will hurt my back in order to give me more patience with her. How priceless is mercy? God never treats us hurtfully. We live in a broken world today with all the negative results of sin, not God. And God doesn't promise we won't be touched by this world's corruption. But he promises that his love and greater goodness will always prevail in our life. It's his promise. Yahweh, the Lord, is 24/7 my shepherd. What a priceless confidence amidst no matter what's troubling us today, tomorrow, or any future day. Most of us are familiar, Romans 8:28. And we know, God's assured us of this. Some of us can look back and see several examples of this in our life already, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. That's all believers. To those who are called according to his purpose. And I had to conclude with one of my top five verses in all of Scripture. Isaiah 58:11. The Lord is my shepherd. Here Isaiah is repeating it. And the Lord will, doesn't say might, doesn't say if, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places. That's places where we get no other support or encouragement. And give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Yahweh will see to it. Do we have an awesome shepherd? How blessed are we, really? Let's just close in a word of prayer. Lord, so often, as is true this morning, even though I've taught this chapter a number of times, the comfort of it is beyond my vocabulary to express. Your goodness to me, to all of us, we find no words to be able to adequately express it. So, as you know, Lord, I often conclude a study like this by just saying, Lord, you've reduced my entire vocabulary to just 5 words. Lord, I just praise you. I just praise you.
Join Pastor Paul Van Ooy Sunday and Wednesday for our online service or in person at 5725 North Pioneer Drive in beautiful Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. For service times and sermon recordings, visit candlelight.org.